You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
I want to thank you so much for being here with us and worshiping with us and praising the Lord with us. And I want to tell you I'm looking forward to us gathering together again next week. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read from verse 21 to 23. And we are beginning our Advent series. Our Advent series, where we're looking at God with us. And this is actually what the beautiful piece about Advent is the fact that God desires to be with us, desires to be with his people. And so this is what Matthew 1:21 says. It says, "She will give birth to a son." This is an angel talking to Joseph. "And you are to name him Jesus. Because he will save his people from their sins." If you were to actually summarize why Jesus came, it says that Jesus, that word Jesus means he will have a saving mission. It's actually a title giving him what his job description is going to be, the fact that he will be our savior because he will save his people from their sins, meaning that they cannot save themselves. And now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. So we discover this, that this is something God had promised even before. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel." This is another name for Jesus, which is translated, "God is with us." And so I want to really kind of just jump in here and show us what a difference it makes to have God with us. Even through this time when we've been going through this pandemic, 2020, nobody ever dreamed that 2020 was going to be like this. But I want to say that 2020 has been a hard year, but it has also been a year where I have cherished most the nearness of God. The fact that God is with us has become something very important. You know, there's one Latin phrase that has become very important to me. It is post tenebras lux. It actually means after darkness, light. After darkness, light. It is this picture of, it speaks of the difference that God makes by being present, just as he showed up in Genesis when the earth was dark and it was void, and God said, "Let there be light." After darkness, light describes even the coming of Jesus to us who were sitting in darkness under the shadow of death, and because of our sin and its brokenness, God once again visited us from on high through his Son, and he became light for us. And so for the child of God, God is with us means this, that there's never going to be a moment when you are to sit in darkness for long at all. And so God is with us. This is a very important, Advent season, because we get to celebrate the fact that even in darkness, God is with us. And then it means that we will come out of this because he is with us. And so we find this, that this angel is announcing this right here in this context after 400 years of silence. At the peak of sin and rebellion, when the people of God are being oppressed by the Roman government, and this is when the good news of Jesus breaks in, and he tells Joseph this: you will call him Emmanuel, Jesus. And so he will have this saving mission. And even Jesus is going to say himself in Luke chapter 19, 10, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And so the Advent is this season, of us recalibrating, thinking of why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us from the wrath to come, and he came to save us from our sin. So I love the Advent because it is a reminder that Jesus is still about saving lives, that Jesus is still our King, and that he saves. And so even in the midst of this time, this coronavirus, we still are celebrating Emmanuel, God is with us, that he still saves us over and over. So what Advent is a time that in the next 4 weeks we want to think deeply about Jesus and in a fresh way invite him to come once again. And so one theologian said this, reflecting on the Advent. He said Jesus came into the world at the first Advent, and every Advent since is a reminder of his continual Advent into our lives and into more lives. And I pray that you are one of those lives where Jesus and his light will break into your life in a fresh, in a new way. And it says this, that, and that Advent is in fact our Advent as well. So our Advent, our moving into the lives of those around us and into the people of the world. So I want to say this, that his Advent awakens us to renewal, and then also awakens us to mission as well, reminding us once again that he has called us to go and to bring him to all that will hear and listen as well. And so So as you look even in this text today, it says that Jesus will have this saving mission. But what I love about this is also the promise that we see here is the fact that Matthew is going to go 700 years back, and he's going to show you that this is not something that is new. This is something that God promised 700 years ago through the time, during the time of Isaiah. And not only that, if you go back to Genesis 3:15, you would see that the coming of Jesus is something that God promised, that he was going to send his son who was going to come and he would crush the head of the enemy, and he was going to come and save his people. So God is with us. It's not something that is new. It is something that God has always desired to be with his people. And so I want to spend a little bit more time going back into the time of Isaiah. I believe that the background to this text, the time of Isaiah, when God promised this Emmanuel that we see now 700 years later during Jesus' time, when Jesus is born, when we look back into the background, we will see why Jesus' coming is so significant. And then so I want us to spend our time in Isaiah chapter 7, where he promises this. And out of this, I want us to draw some lessons. And the first lesson that we're going to draw out of this is that God is with his people when his people are not with him. That God is with his people when his people are not with him. And also that God is with us even in our times when we're rebelling and when we're unfaithful. God still is a God who is with us. Look at Isaiah chapter 7 verse 1. It says, this took place during the reign of Ahaz, and who was a very wicked king, who never wanted anything to do with God, son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, the king who loved God, and king of Judah. And so Aram, king of Rezin, and Israel's king Pekah, son of Remaliah, went to fight against Jerusalem, and they were not able to conquer it. And when it became known to the house of David, the house where Ahaz is the grandson of David, that Aram was had occupied Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the hearts of the people trembled like trees of a forest shaking in the wind. When you look at the history, you get to see Ahaz is the grandson of David, but he has walked away. David was a son, was a man after God's heart, but his grandson hated God in each and every way, even to the point where he followed after other gods, and he sacrificed even his own son to another god. And not only that, he dragged the people of God, because where the king went, the people went as well. And so he dragged them into idolatry. And so at this moment, we see them threatened with war. They're in danger, and they're in danger. The enemy is coming in, and these kings have aligned themselves, and they're coming. They want him to join their alliance, but when he refuses, they actually want to put another king in his place, a puppet king. And so it says this is their response. It says they trembled like trees in a forest. And I want you to kind of begin to see this imagery of shaking like a leaf illustrates the level of fear and panic that the leaders and the people are drowning in. And it seemed as if they were doomed and their courage was severely threatened. And so, but the key phrase to this sentence, to this passage here, is the fact that it was the house of David. It was the house of David. So we see this, that God is still faithful to the house of David. He is a God who is with his people, even when his people are not with him. He had promised through David, to David in 2 Samuel 7:13, that he was always going to be with his people, that he was, that the people of, that descendant of David was always going to be on the throne. So God keeps his covenant at the peak of their sins, when their scared and they're in trouble, and this is when God breaks through and comes to them. And so for us, this is actually what Advent also for us is, a celebration that God is faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. So when his people are not walking with him, he keeps the promise that he kept to David. And so how does he keep this promise? We look here and we see the second lesson, that God is with his people to bring them assurance. Look at verse 3. And the Lord said to Isaiah, and I want you to see that word Isaiah there. Isaiah is a prophet, and he stands for the presence of God. And so God would speak through the prophets, and Isaiah is one of the few people that worship God, that listens to God, that obeys God. He is a priest, and he offers sacrifices before God. And so God still kept his presence amongst his people through his prophets. And I love this, because at the end of the day, God speaks to Isaiah and he says, go and go out with your son, Shear Jashub. And that his son's name means, his son's name means actually that God will draw those who repent to himself. And so he says this. He says, go with your son to meet Ahaz at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, by the road to the launderer's field. And so here God sends Isaiah to go meet this king, and actually he is meeting him at the upper pool. And what actually it means is that the king was actually preparing, he, in the midst of his fears, he was actually preparing for a siege. He was preparing for war to come to him, because they were going to starve to death, and the first thing the enemy usually cuts is usually the water. And then so God sends him there, and what I love here is that God meets his people in the midst of their fears and through the prophet, and he gives them counsel. And so what I want you to see is the prophet here stands for God being with his people even in the midst of their rebellion. And in fact, when you go into the prophets, you will get to see that God is always wanted to be with his people. And he's always directed his people in some way, shape, and form as well. But I want to kind of do is to maybe just draw back and kind of begin maybe in Genesis to show you that at creation, God is walking with his people. He's with Adam and Eve. It says that during the cool of the day, he would come and he would walk with his people. And he would walk with Adam and Eve. And then he had created them in his image. And then we see also him walking with Enoch. And we see him walking with Noah. We see him walking with Abraham, with Joseph, and we see him and we see his presence making a difference, coming and turning what the people of God had done a mess, and he turns it and he gives them the promises, and he even sustains them even through suffering as well. So at the end of Genesis, we see God sustaining his people by actually sustaining Joseph and saving them through even the famine as well. In Exodus, we see God's presence making a difference in rescuing his people from slavery through Moses and guiding them through the desert, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and meeting them in the tent and relating with them even through their rebellion. And then so we see even during the time of David celebrating that even when he has strayed off, that the presence of God is something that he really treasures. He says even in Psalm 51, cast me not away from your presence, because the presence of God was something that he knew that if God removed his presence, he was going to be doomed. And so you see him even in Psalm 23:4 saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. The presence of God makes all the difference. And we see God being with the prophets, in the prophets as well, being with his people. For example, in Daniel, we see God, when his people are in the fire, we see God standing in the fire with them. The presence of God makes all the difference. And here in our text, we see God speaking through the prophet, being God with us. And then it reminds me of the movie. I love in Wonder Woman, there's a time when they are tracking through all history and they're going through every big battle, and they find a picture of this woman who's been in every single one of those battles, and they get to see that she has lived in different times and she has actually fought in those battles and helped them win. And they found out that it was the Wonder Woman who was in there. If we study the Bible, we get to actually get to see that God has always been with his people, and his presence makes all the difference. And so look at Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4. His presence begins to make a difference here. He says, say this to Ahaz, calm down and be quiet. And when they're actually in fear, he says, calm down, be quiet. Don't be afraid or cowardly, because these two smoldering sticks. He looks at these people that are threatening Ahaz and the tribe of Judah. He says this, the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah, is actually what? Smoldering sticks. The first encouragement comes, and there's four commands here that are imperatives, and it says, be quiet, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart. And I want you to kind of get to see, this is the emotion that Matthew is invoking in the people of God when he is actually saying, this is what Jesus has come to do. He's come to calm us down, right? While the people of God were panicking in the time of Isaiah, God breaks through and he says, be quiet, keep calm, don't be afraid, do not lose heart. And so when Jesus shows up, this is meant to provoke the fact that he will save, his people from their sins, and then so that they will be quiet. They will not be shaking like trees, fearful of the wrath to come, because God, for the wages of sin is death, because they know that they have sinned greatly and that they deserve God's wrath. And it is actually in their unfaithfulness that God comes, that the Son of God, Jesus, comes. And what is meant to cover us is also this very thing. Be quiet. That our sins are many. There are many, but his mercy is more. That his grace is sufficient. And so they should come down instead of trembling like trees. They should not be fearful and act quiet cowardly, because God has finally come and he gives them. And what is so beautiful here is that God's perspective is meant to change Ahaz's perspective. And when we hear that Jesus is coming, it's meant to change our perspective. Though our sins are many, it's meant to give us a perspective that our sins through Christ's victory are like smoldering wicks in front of sticks in front of us. And so here, we're meant to adopt the view of God, right? And then so God here begins to actually give Ahaz almost like he flexes his sovereign muscles and his omniscient muscles here. He says, for Aram, along with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah, has plotted harm against you. And they say, let's go up against Judah and terrorize it. This is what sin does to us. This is what Satan does, and conquer it for ourselves. And then we'll install Tabeel's son as king in it. We'll install this puppet king. But God says this. He says this. This is what the Lord says. It will not happen. It will not occur. Right? And then he gives them this perspective. He said, the chief of Aram is Damascus. The chief of Damascus is Rezin. And he says this, within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. And the chief of Ephraim is Samaria. And the chief of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. And if you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. What I love about this is the fact that God looks at them and he says this, do not be afraid. This is what I know. He looks into the future and he says, listen, I'm going to destroy them in no time. And this is actually what is meant to be coming to us when Matthew is quoting this. He's meant to even be provoking as well, that even within the time, that even though they're looking at this child who's going to be born, Emmanuel, God with us, but he's also going to guarantee a certain victory, that in at the cross, within those 33 years at the cross, Jesus was going to die, and that the victory that the enemy had promised was going to come upon the people of God, was not going to occur. That at the cross, that Jesus guarantees us this absolute victory. That after 3 days, when Jesus had risen from the dead, I want you to fast forward to Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus actually begins to say that, when they begin to say, but who do you say I am? And then when Peter says, you are the Son of God. And when Jesus began to say that, I will die, and after 3 days I will rise again. This is the victory that God is promising here. He pronounces their sure protection. And this is actually what Matthew is trying to invoke out of God's people. And then this leads us to the third point here. God is with his people to bring a new challenge. And this is what the challenge is. The challenge is, if you will not be firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all. So God promises this sure sign that now when Matthew begins to bring us to Jesus, and look at this, ask for a sign from the Lord, from your God, talking to Ahaz. Right, he said, then he spoke to Ahaz, ask for a sign from your God. It can be as deep as Sheol and high as heaven. But Ahaz responds in unbelief. I will not ask, I will not test the Lord. And Isaiah says, listen, house of David, once again provoking this covenant name. Is it not enough for you to try the patience of man? Will you also try the patience of your God? Therefore, listen to this, the Lord himself, without you asking, without you believing, even at that moment, will give you a son. See, a virgin will conceive and have a son, and his name, and we will name him Emmanuel. I want you to hear that. We will name him Emmanuel. And so, obviously, during this time in Isaiah, there was going to be a king that was going to be born, that was going to actually help secure peace. But here, when Matthew brings it out, it is actually now when actually Matthew is looking and he's saying, yes, there might have been a fulfillment then, but now there is this fulfillment that God has now given his only, he's now given us even this Emmanuel, God with us, who's meant to make a difference and actually fulfill not only the promise of God with us, but fulfill the promise that he promised even at the garden and restore us back to fellowship with him once more. And his name was to be Emmanuel. So Isaiah and his followers is meant to, it meant the promise of God protecting, God's protecting presence and eventual fulfillment of God's purposes for his people, right? But then it was also a preservation also of the remnant and bringing us. So Matthew was right to see this ultimate fulfillment of God's promise that he was always going to have a descendant of David on the throne. So Jesus comes in and to fulfill that. In Jesus, he is God with us. And he remains this concrete sign for us that God's steadfast love stands for us even today. So Advent for us is knowing that God is with us through thick and thin, through the coronavirus, through every single thing, that in Jesus, he is God with us and he remains the concrete sign of God's faithfulness towards us. And why is it that we have hope in Jesus? We have hope in Jesus because he became flesh and he dwelt amongst us and he knows what it is like to be human. He shared humanity with us according to John 4. And he shared our pain according to John 11. He shared in our temptations according to Matthew chapter 4. He shared in our suffering when we see him at the cross and when he's spat on, when he's betrayed. He shared in our death when we look at Mark chapter 15 when he dies at the cross. And he is God's fullness. God become flesh according to Colossians chapter 2 verse 9. He is with us always according to Matthew chapter 28. He says, I will be with you even to the ends of the age. And he is in us through the Holy Spirit according to John 14 and to Romans 18, to Romans 8 as well. And he will be with us forever according to Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. And so God has always promised to be with us. But the challenge here is that we need to stand firm. And the challenge that went to Ahaz is challenging us even today during this Advent. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And so for us, what does this Advent mean for us? And this is what John Wesley said. We have the best news. And this best news is meant to be a treasure that is meant to make the difference in whatever circumstance that you are facing today. This is what John Wesley is saying. The best of all, and this is the best of all for us, the best of all is God is with us. This morning I was telling my friends that I really, really hate coronavirus. I was telling them I hate this season where we're in. And I wish things could get back to normal. But I was reminded once again, the best of all, through thick and thin, is that God is with us. And that's that as long as we have God with us, He will always strengthen us even in the midst of battle. So we need not to shake anymore like trees and in fear because He is with us. And so when He's with us, what do we have? We need to be bold and fellowship with Him the same way He fellowshipped with the same way He fellowshipped with Adam and Eve in the garden. We need to know that He is with us. He promised He will never leave us nor forsake us, right? That He is risen, He is seated on the throne. As long as He is King forever. The risen King will give us strength. And so we fellowship with Him, even in our suffering as well. We fellowship with Him. And as long as with us, He is with us, we will stand firm. And this will also give us humility. That God wanting to be with us should not give us this pride of thinking maybe there's something special with us, but we need to be reminded that He is with us even in our unfaithfulness, that He demonstrates this even in Jesus, that He is God with us even while we were still sinners. And then so therefore, even during this time, whatever sin that we find ourselves with, we will find renewal as well. That God is with us is meant to give us this endurance. That is this endurance that when we examine through the fabric of Scripture, we'll get to see that He was with Joseph in suffering. He was with Moses in suffering. He was with David. He was with Isaiah. And He was with Paul. And He was with Jesus. He was with John. He was with everyone. Therefore, He is with us even in the midst of suffering to breathe into us endurance as well. He was with the three Hebrew boys in the furnace as well. So this will birth endurance in us. And God with us is meant to even give us this fight for holiness as well. That He is near. So we will not give up and then give in to temptation and blaspheme Him even during this time. We'll be content because we have with Him that in, and we have with Him, we are with Him even through these hard times. That God with us is meant to lead us to rejoicing. That God wants to be with us. And we're meant to continually enjoy His company. And that if He is with us, nothing should be against us. If He is with us, He is for us. Nothing will come against us. But that God is with us also is meant to even launch us even into mission. God with us, even in times of crisis, is not a time for us to draw back. It is a time for us to continue to go into the highways and the byways, into every single soul that is thirsty and hungry for Him, and tell them about Him. And tell them that He came, that He continually comes, that He brings peace and strength and joy and strength even in times like this. In times like this, the best of all is that God is with us. He is still with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He brings strength, joy, peace, forgiveness, rest even for restless souls. And that God is with us is the greatest treasure. So for us as believers, His nearness should be our greatest treasure. And that, as we always say in marriage, for better, for worse, that He is with us makes all the difference. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we come before You. And Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that, Lord, even through this time, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, for City Church and for the church as a whole, and even during this time of the Advent, even in the next weeks, we would reflect that You are God with us. And that's, Lord, for those that are carrying heavy sins, that the Lord, that they would see you, the risen one, extending mercy and grace. That, Lord, they would sense the difference that you make because you are the risen one who's conquered every sin and our fear. That you being with us, God, today, you would breathe a fresh, new renewal, God. That you would calm our fears and you would raise us up with you. You would make us stand firm as a church, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.